312-981-7200. Phone lines are open. Text lines are open for any and all of your automotive or car-related questions. 312-981-7200. Let us welcome to the show Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. And let's welcome Tom back to the show. Hi, Tom. Are you there, Tom?
I am now.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Chris. I hit the wrong button when I picked up the phone.
Oh, okay. Now you're here now.
I am.
Okay, good. How are you?
Better now that I got the phone to work. I'm very well. Thank you.
Good, good. Welcome to the show. Welcome back. And again, Tom is our car guy, and you can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. That's car_guy_Tom. And you're looking to buy a car, lease a car, any car automotive-related questions, you need some advice, any of that stuff dealing with cars, 312-981-7200, talk and text. Tom, one more time, tell everybody about Consumer Guide Automotive.
Yeah, thanks. Consumer Guide Automotive, we've been around since 1967. If you are looking for a new or used car, please check us out at consumerguide.com. If you just want to read something that's fun, in-depth, or just kind of pokes fun at the industry, check out the CG Daily Drive blog at cgdailydrive.com.
There you go. And we are going to talk about a couple of the articles that you wrote for the blog, including one that made me laugh out loud involving automotive Halloween costumes.
Oh, good.
So we'll get to that a little bit later on. And you guys are planning on doing something next year for the 50th anniversary, correct?
I hope so. I'm trying to get a little money from the boss for that, but yeah, we've got to do something, including write our history, which we don't have committed to paper anyplace.
Oh boy!
So, yeah. Luckily, all the principles are still around, so I've got to get that committed to paper and story form because okay. Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah, well, congratulations on that. Very cool.
Thank you.
All right, let's you know, the Volkswagen story never stops.
No,
it keeps developing, and actually, the first couple of stories that we're going to talk to that are car related. Are car companies dishing out a lot of money?
Yes.
Let's start with Volkswagen. You know, this whole thing with the diesel cars and they're going to spend up to $10 billion.
$10 billion just in restitution to U.S. diesel car owners. Perhaps another $5 billion in fines and penalties to the U.S. government. So it's looking like it's going to cost them $15 billion in the U.S. alone.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's crazy. Tell everybody a quick background on the story, and then we'll get to, you know, who's going to be eligible and all that stuff.
Yeah, sure. Going back as far as 2009, diesel products that sold by Volkswagen in the United States had a cheat function that essentially allowed the car to know when it was being tested for emissions, and it would go into what was called a safe mode or a correct mode where it would pollute less. The problem with that mode was it wasn't on all the time, and the reason it wasn't on all the time is because it would have affected performance. So happy Volkswagen owners simply thought they had miracle engines. I did, actually. I'm a victim of this. I own a Volkswagen diesel. And we were just all pleased as punch by the incredible fuel economy we were getting and knowing that we were driving green cars. Volkswagen got busted, in a nutshell. The U.S. government came down on them very, very hard.
And right now, though, they have to make restitution in some regard.
Yep.
And so they're going to be doing that. And just this past week, they approved a settlement between Volkswagen and 475,000 owners of diesel cars.
Yep.
That did not meet the U.S. emission standards. So I'm sure that there are questions about this, like who is eligible? Like, are you eligible, Tom?
Yeah. Yeah. We have a 2011 Jetta sport wagon, lovely car. And that we are eligible for that. In fact, I received a letter this week letting me know that a settlement had been reached and that a U.S. judge finally approved the deal. There's a caveat to all this. The only deal that's been approved is the buyback program. There is dollar amounts allowed for people who want to keep their cars and simply receive some sort of settlement money, but that hasn't been approved yet by the EPA and may never be approved, in which case you'll simply have to sell your car back.
And so... should people what is the advice that you have for people? Should people wait because should they wait, just keep driving the car, but because nobody knows what the fix is yet on this, right? Like how they're going to fix the cars?
Yeah, the waiting question's a great one. Volkswagen has 2 years to get these things off the road. They have to have 75% compliance in 2 years. So there is a popular school of thought that is if you wait, they might sweeten the deal because they will be in trouble for not cleaning these cars up. So that's one path that people can take. In California, for example, you wouldn't be able to do that because California will test for these emissions and you will be in failure and you will be penalized or fined. Illinois is never going to get its act together and start testing these cars correctly, so you could go on indefinitely and never get your car fixed. So it depends on the state you're in, what you can do with it. My wife and I are simply going to turn our car in and get a different car. We kind of want to be done with this whole deal.
Yeah.
And the settlement's actually very fair.
Okay. It seems fair then?
Yeah.
Okay. How much are the cars worth?
The cars are worth, it depends on the year.
Right.
2011 was worth before the resale value was hurt by the scandal, about $14,000. And Volkswagen is going to give us what it was worth before the scandal, plus an additional sum of money for our time and trouble.
Wow. Jeez. And so if what happens if you buy a diesel now?
You cannot. Volkswagen is not selling diesels in the United States.
Oh, okay.
At all. The only companies selling diesels right now are BMW, Mercedes, Jaguar, and I think GM sells a couple of pickups, the light duty. So there's not a lot of places to go for a diesel, and there's no comparable diesels to buy.
Is this scandal that happened with Volkswagen, obviously, and you know, as we've mentioned before many, many times that you've been on here, you've been doing this for many years, and this is the biggest news story, biggest scandal and recall ever.
Absolutely.
Has it affected or will it affect the purchase of diesel cars now and in the future?
Tough to say. A lot of people think it will. General Motors is going out on a limb, and they will sell a diesel version of the Chevrolet Cruze in 2017. So they think they can pick up some disenfranchised Volkswagen owners that way.
Okay.
So we'll see if they have any luck with that.
All right. Well, so you're personally gonna, you guys are gonna turn your car and get a new car because you want it done. Is that what you give advice to people who are in your position as well?
I think so, yeah. I wouldn't rush right in because what's going to happen is that the price of other cars is probably going to go up a little bit as demand increases. There's 500,000 people here looking for another car, which is, compared to the total sales volume in any given period of time, is huge. So, you know, the prices of comparable cars, maybe Mazdas, Subarus, and the other kind of things that Volkswagen owners would cross shop, those are going to end up in short supply for a little while.
Mm.
You may want to hold off for a little bit.
90,000 cars with 3-liter diesel engines also have cheating software. They're not part of this settlement. What does that mean?
No, that's a different engine. It did not use the AdBlue system. It's the system where you add ammonia to help clean up the exhaust. It's urea. Those are different cars. Those are mostly Porsches and Audis, but
okay.
A couple of Volkswagens, too. And, yeah, that's a separate settlement.
Okay, that's separate. Okay. All right, Tom, speaking of more settlements, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Hyundai and Kia.
Sounds good.
Also dishing out money.
Yeah.
Okay, Tom, hang on, all right?
Will do.
And we'll answer any and all of your automotive-related questions. You're looking for a car, you need some advice, car, automotive questions, 312-981-7200. Send in your text or call us right now. Oh. All right. Hi. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Tom Appel is my guest. He joins me once a month. He is the publisher of the Consumer Guide Automotive, contributes to their Daily Drive blog, and you can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And he is here to talk car news and answer any and all of your automotive-related questions. Call in or text them in, 312-981-7200. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right, we talked about Volkswagen. Now let's talk about Hyundai and Kia. Give everybody the story there, and they're paying out $41 million?
Well, $41 million more, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is on top of about $350 million they've already ended up paying out for in terms of penalties and reimbursement to owners. What Hyundai Kia did, and Hyundai Kia are basically the same company. They're two different sales arms that operate largely independently in the U.S., but Hyundai's the parent company of both in South Korea. They were caught, and it's not entirely sure that they were doing anything intentionally, but they were overstating the fuel economy of their products. And what happened was there's something called a coast down test. That's part of the EPA test cycle, and that was being mishandled by Hyundai. Now, they weren't alone. Other manufacturers also got in trouble for this, but not to the same extent.
Mm.
But they ended up in a certain amount of trouble with the EPA and the U.S. government and were forced to issue essentially gift cards to Hyundai owners to compensate them for the lost fuel economy, to restate their fuel economy. And this is probably the part that hurt them most. In California, they lost their fuel economy credits, which they could have sold to other manufacturers because they were doing pretty well with those numbers. So, yeah, this is the last bit of it now. They still owe the government some money for their cost of the investigation. So that's this last $40 million.
So that's $40 million more in addition to the $350 million that they've been hit up for.
Yeah, they got pretty close to half a billion there.
Oh, man. And how off were they in the estimates?
Worst case, I remember a particular case of the Kia Soul. They sold an MPG version, a high fuel economy version, and I think that highway number was exaggerated by 6 MPG. So that was a big...
That is big.
Yeah, and that was the extreme case. Some of them were just 1 or 2 MPG.
How do you account for that? Now, you said just a couple of minutes ago that they may have done nothing purposely wrong.
Right. Yeah, what happens is, and this is a problem, the EPA is a little bit underfunded. So what happens is that manufacturers will do the testing themselves, bring their paperwork to the government, and the government will have engineers peruse through it and approve it, which works in principle. But some of the testing was done incorrectly, and that wasn't reflected in a lot of the paperwork. And whether or not they knew this, it isn't clear. But, yeah, that number seems very high. And people might remember, too, that this happened with the case of the Ford Ford's midsize hybrid crossover, the C-Max, where they were at first advertising numbers as high as 47 MPG on the highway. They had to make two revisions and brought it all the way down to 35 MPG. So it was wrong by 12
Jeez.
MPG. Yeah.
Jeez. Now, how safe of an out is it when the commercials say your mileage may vary? Is that sort of a safety thing put into the commercials and advertisements?
It is, yeah. And if you're me, I drive with something of a lead foot, and I never see anything like the highway number that the EPA will approve for some cars. But these days in consumer guide testing, and we test our own fuel economy all the time on cars that come through the office, we get pretty close to somewhere between the combined number and the city number in our testing. And our testing leans towards the urban side. What I like about that is it's consistent across the whole line. We don't get anywhere near the highway number, but we know that if you see the combined number, we're going to get pretty close to it.
Mm. And so that legally, that's not an out for them to say that on the commercials. Your mileage may vary.
No, probably not. They're covered by the fact that it's an EPA number. So if they're just quoting the EPA.
Oh, I see. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they're not coming up with their own fantastic number.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Everybody keep an eye on that. And the people who have these kinds of cars, the Kia and the Hyundai, will they have been contacted already and probably already got gift cards and things like that?
Yeah, that's already a closed case.
That's done, okay.
You can't make a claim anymore.
Okay, all right. From the 219 area code, we have a text here, and you want to send in your questions about cars, automotive questions, text or call 312-981-7200. What do you think of the Jeep Compass?
Jeep Compass is about to be discontinued. It's probably my least favorite Jeep. The Jeep Compass and the Jeep Patriot are both smaller front drive based Jeeps that are available with all wheel drive that were based on the same architecture as Dodge's much loathed Caliber, which was discontinued. It's kind of an underdeveloped car. You can get them pretty cheap for Jeep products, and I really don't like them very much.
Okay. All right. Well, that's some honesty right there.
Yeah.
And then before we break here, 847 area code says, I'm looking for a car or SUV that is large and comfortable. I also want something with a smooth ride and comfortable seats. My wife uses a walker.
Oh, okay. So we did something with big door openings. I just got out of the Dodge Durango, which is a midsize crossover that lends itself towards being just a bit larger than midsize. Very comfortable vehicle, rides nice, feels fantastically solid and luxurious. Big door openings with a pretty reasonable ride height, so that might work very well.
Dan, isn't that what you were driving just the other day?
No, I was in a Durango.
That's what he just said.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I got the Compass mixed up. Yeah, we were in the Citadel Durango.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, there you go. Oh, loaded. Okay. So,
yeah. Yeah, Dan had the car for what, a couple of days, right? You were driving it?
Yeah, we were babysitting my nieces and nephews, and so my brother-in-law left that car for us.
And Dan, I'm he's kind enough. He lives close by, so we drive in together, and he picks me up because I don't drive.
Oh.
And we drove in on that thing the other night, and it was wow. It was like being on the Starship Enterprise.
Yeah, actually, after the break, there was a question I had about it that Tom might know the answer to.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, let's break. Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
All right. And Tom Appel is here. Any and all car and automotive-related questions, 312-981-7200. More with Tom Appel coming up after the news, which is next. Morning, everybody. How you doing? Welcome back to the show. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, overlooking beautiful Michigan Avenue on a Tuesday morning. Two for Tuesday coming up. Get your requests in. One artist, two songs. Get them in now, 312-981-7200. Coming up a little bit, we're going to talk about the 30th anniversary of Double Dare. Talk about some of the secrets behind the show. Esmeralda and I and you listening can take a handwriting test. And we're also going to have another edition of Radio Pop-Up Video. That's all coming up on the show. Right now, we are talking with Tom Appel, who is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, contributed to their Daily Drive blog. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. That's car_guy_Tom. If you have any and all automotive or car-related questions, you can text or call in right now at 312-981-7200, and we welcome Tom back to the show. Hey, Tom.
Hey.
All right. Some news stories about Tesla.
Yeah.
One is that that Elon Musk, who is the very very interesting CEO of Tesla, says that a driverless Tesla is going to travel from LA to New York City sometime in 2017.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
And I hope that goes well. Yeah, one of the things that Elon and Tesla has done recently is that they will now be equipping all of their Model S and Model X products, that's the only two things they're selling right now, the big car and the big crossover, with all the equipment, all the hardware that they believe is necessary for full automated driving. So that stuff over there. It's not all going to work right away, and they're going to roll out the applications as the software becomes available, but for the most part, a lot of the stuff is there, and they're going to demonstrate that with a cross-country drive.
And what are the concerns? I mean, there was, you read some of this. There was a crash in May in Florida that killed a former Navy SEAL. There have been some other crashes too around the world. Is this doable? Do you think?
Yeah, I don't know, and I hesitate to bet against Elon Musk these days because he seems to get through everything. But on the other hand, there's a lot of media calling him out. Traditional media, not automotive media, for beta testing the software on the general public. Mm. There is no infrastructure in place, certainly not cross-country, to support this. So the car would be on its own to make this work. And, yeah, these accidents have been pretty fantastic and obviously well-reported because everyone's covering Tesla no matter what. So we'll see what comes of this. Personally, as an auto journalist, I just think that we're forcing this issue. I think that we're trying to get to this automation too quickly. And way ahead of schedule, but we'll see how it goes. It's interesting that the U.S. government has come up with a number of things that they've made manufacturers aware of what they're going to be looking for. The guidelines aren't there, but they've at least listed what it is that they think the guidelines will include. So we're getting closer to some sort of definitive action on how this will be ruled in terms of legislation, but nothing in terms of infrastructure yet.
Okay. And the term autopilot, you know, we've talked about this before,
yeah.
Tom. It's a very strange term to use, isn't it?
It's a terrible term to use for that.
Yeah.
Because you're not supposed to use it that way.
So. Right. Right. We just, let's put the car on autopilot and I'll sleep in the back.
Yeah. And the crazy part is how well it does that. It's not supposed to do that. But if anyone wants to check on YouTube, there's all sorts of people who have their hands off the wheel, and the Tesla Model S or Model X is just driving itself down the highway. It's fantastic.
Wow. All right. Well, we'll see if that happens. And along those lines, you were just talking about the Model S and the Model X. How often does Consumer Reports do a 180 on cars, Tom?
Yeah.
I mean, this is really kind of crazy. They gave it a 103. They gave the Model S a 103 on a 100-point scale, and then, boom, they completely flipped it around and said it was 25th among 29.
Yeah, and I don't know how you get extra credit from Consumer Reports.
Yeah. So. Just add the 3 points.
You have to flip your test over and do an extra question on the back.
Right, right.
I don't know how that works. The Model X, the big crossover, famous for its falcon wing doors.
Yeah.
The doors are the kind that are a little bit like on a DeLorean. And The problem with those is that they're just a lot of problems. They fold strangely. There's all sorts of sensors involved in them, and they haven't worked well. And those doors alone delayed the introduction of the Model X by up to 2 years. So they're a very strange feature, and they're sort of at odds with what the car is about because they have nothing to do with the car being electric or green or forward-thinking. So a very strange thing. But that is a lot of the Model X's problem with Consumer Reports. It's just a lot of consumer complaints about the function of those doors.
Mm-hmm. And that's like the main thing. What about the S, the Type S?
The Model S has been running pretty well. There's a problem, and it's a big problem for Consumer Reports in that a lot of the people who own Teslas love Teslas, and they're fanboys to a degree, very reluctant to report problems. So it's only now that people are buying these things now that aren't as much in the club, if you were.
Got it.
So this stuff is sort of slowly getting into people who report on reliability.
So fanboys will not report any problems, even if the car is less than great.
That has been the case with Tesla.
That doesn't make any sense.
I should say that that's understood to be the case.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Wow. That just doesn't make any sense at all. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're talking with Tom Appel. And you can check him out on Twitter, car_guy_Tom. And here's Kathy on WGN. Go ahead, Kathy.
Oh, hi. I have a Honda Civic. And it was recalled for the airbags like 2 years ago, and I brought it to my dealer, and they said that they replaced both airbags. Now I'm on another recall, and they send me these threatening things, oh, I'm, you know, going to die and all this kind of stuff like that. What in the world did they replace my airbags with? In the first place, the same thing. And I'm just wondering, are they just trying to make money off of me or what?
No, they're not just trying to make money off you. And actually, Nick and I have discussed this in the past. In some cases, they actually replace the airbags with the same airbags, but newer.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually have to replace those airbags now with hopefully redesigned airbags. And there should not be any cost to you involved in this. If there is, go to another dealer and call Honda to complain about the dealer because there should be no money to you. This should be completely free.
How can I make sure they aren't going to just do the same thing as they did 2 years ago?
I don't know that there's any way you can do that, but if they're issuing another recall, Honda is paying money to get this done, so hopefully they're doing it in the most expedient way. I don't think you have to worry about what's being done being correct. Unfortunately, you do have to do it again, and that's just kind of a pain.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Okay, Kathy? Take care.
Thank you.
All right. There you go. 312-981-7200. Speaking of recalls, the Fiat Chrysler recalled 74,000 vehicles.
Yeah, the mostly
pickups.
Mostly, yeah, the large Ram pickups. These are interesting. These are just Ram products with the heavy-duty alternator. So this is 2500, 3500, 4500 series pickups, and then a few of the police cars that use the same heavy-duty alternator.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there was an example of an underhood fire. Not a lot of problems, but you have to get that replaced.
What's happening with the alternators? Are they what if there's been fires and stalls and things like that?
I read something about a short in a diode. Yeah, so it's just overheating, getting warm, and yeah, it could lead to another hood fire.
All right, now people will obviously be getting notices on that if they have the Ram 25 or the 35 pickups.
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
All right, okay, that's another recall that you might want to look for, right there. 309 area code says we are looking for a car for our son our soon to be 16-year-old daughter. She's using it mostly to get to school, which is in town. We want it being enough. Big enough to fit three people in the back seat, not opposed to a smaller SUV or crossover, and we're looking to spend between $5,000 and $6,000. And Tom, we've talked about buying teenagers and teenage boys and girls cars in the past. What do you say here?
Yeah, $6,000 is sort of problematic, and you need to get three people across the back seat. An interesting choice, the car I like a lot, is a used Kia Soul. That's their boxy kind of fun hamster advertised vehicle.
Right, right.
And that's a fairly wide vehicle, and you could probably accommodate three high school-sized girls across the back seat of that. Otherwise, you've got to move up to a mid-sized crossover to make that work.
Okay. By the way, my dad adores those Soul commercials. Oh, my God. He goes nuts. He loves the one with, because they show them, you know, when we go to the movie, I go to the movies with my folks every Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And we get there early enough to see Maria Menounos, you know, saying, hi, welcome, here's a featurette. And they'll inevitably show the commercial where they're all, the hamsters are out there partying and playing instruments and dancing around. My dad's like, this is the greatest commercial I've ever seen in my life. He just loves it. So he's not going to buy the car, but he likes the commercial.
But he knows what a Kia Soul is.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. He absolutely does. Yeah. Yeah.
I guess it works.
It does work. Yeah. 224 area code says, I recently got a RAV4. I love it. Never had a car of this size or type. It's a 2016. Your thoughts?
Yeah, RAV4. I like the RAV4, actually. It's something that my wife and I are looking for to replace our Jetta. That's Toyota's compact crossover. It's big for a compact crossover. It's now available in hybrid form very affordably. So you're good for 30 miles per gallon if you go that route. But I like the RAV4 a lot.
Now, you mentioned you were driving you were driving a Durango earlier, right?
Over the weekend.
Over the weekend. And what have you been driving since we talked to you last? A couple, anything else that you thought was interesting and fun?
I am in a car right now that's very interesting to me, and that is the 2016 Mitsubishi Lancer.
Oh, okay.
It's interesting to me because it's sort of a dated product, and it's Mitsubishi's car that they most need to replace. There's just a lot there that's kind of old and not interesting. But one of the interesting things about it is for a compact car, it's about the size of a Honda Civic, you can get it with all-wheel drive with a center-locking differential, which is the sort of thing you expect to find in an SUV.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for a compact car, and you can live with the fact that this thing's a little bit dated, but really need a snow vehicle, you know, if you're up in Minnesota, Michigan, even around here,
yeah,
you just really like to deal with the snow. This is just kind of an interesting vehicle. Also, at $24,000 fully loaded, it's kind of a good deal.
Wow. Okay. All right. Very cool. By the way, speaking of new cars, Tom, I know that we're both going to buy the new Ferrari supercar.
Yes.
You know, for the $2 million that they wanted for it, but it's sold out. I'm very upset about this.
I'm always interested about how they do this, but Ferrari, Lamborghini, sometimes Aston Martin, these companies will do these special edition vehicles in addition to the products they already sell, and they tend to be sold the minute they announce them.
Yeah.
And yeah, Ferrari just launched the Aperta, I think it's pronounced.
Yeah.
The Aperta. Sold about 200 of those. Most of those are not coming to the U.S., if any. They often get sold to folks in Saudi Arabia and places like that. And they special bodywork, special engine, boom, $2 million.
It's just crazy because I love that they're only making 209 of them.
Yeah.
They're going to keep 9, and then 200 are already sold.
They're gone, yeah.
Yeah, they're gone.
And Ferrari's really good at this, too. Those 200 are probably going to appreciate in value.
Isn't that nuts? $2.2 million for a damn car. But here's the thing, Tom. I was looking at the stats here. This is crazy. Why do you need this? 0 to 60 miles per hour in less than 3 seconds, and it tops out at more than 200 miles an hour. Where do we need that? Do you need that in Lincolnwood, Tom?
Certainly not in Lincolnwood.
No.
Certainly not in Lincolnwood. Maybe in Dubai.
Maybe. That's a very specific crowd for those cars. All right, Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
All right, Tom Appel is here. We got a couple of stories to talk about from the Daily Drive blog and your texts and phone calls for Tom Appel, Consumer Guide. And you can check him out. Follow him on Twitter, car_guy_Tom. 312-981-7200 is our phone and text. All right. Hey, good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. I'm your overnight dude, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. every weekday morning. 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in right now. Text them in. One artist, 2 songs. You program the music. Later in the show, we start doing that. 312-981-7200. That's the phone number. It's also our text number. Tom Appel is with us. He's the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. He joins us once a month to talk car stories and to answer your automotive questions. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And we welcome Tom back to the show. Hey, Tom.
Hey.
All right. 815 area code says, hi, I'm looking for an affordable car that is good on gas but comes with a third row of seating. It needs to fit at least 4 car seats and booster seats for all my grandchildren. Good Lord, does this person live in a shoe? All right, yes.
Wow. Well, the Nissan Rogue is a compact crossover that happens to have a third row, and that's probably the best way to go, and you get four car seats in that. The problem is that accessing the third row with car seats in the second row can be problematic. You'll probably have to remove the second row seats before getting to the third row. So no matter what, you're in for a little bit of headache, but that's a good way to go if you want a smaller vehicle.
Okay, one more time, the car again?
The Nissan Rogue.
The Nissan Rogue. Okay, there you go. 847 area code says, hello, are there any loopholes to Carfax? Can a car be in an accident, be repaired, without going through insurance and therefore not show up on the Carfax report?
Answer, yes. It would have to have had the accident first without showing up on the Carfax report and then be repaired. Yeah, that can happen. Hopefully your dealer will inspect the car. If you buy a car from an independent dealer and it's used and you have any questions whatsoever, you want to make sure that an independent mechanic has a look at that too.
Okay. 630 area code says, I have a Malibu 2010 with cloth bucket seats and electronic control. The pitch is painful and it's killing my lower spine. Do you have any suggestions for a remedy or an alternative auto?
Wow. Well, any other car if those seats are hurting you. I don't know specifically what it would be about those seats. And by pitch, I suppose we're talking about the seat back angle.
I would imagine so, yeah.
Which is interesting. I don't know why that wouldn't adjust fully upright. It's possible the seat's broken because I've never heard that complaint before.
Yeah, I mean, it's a six-year-old car.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, cloth bucket seats, that's fantastic.
They're comfy.
Yeah. All right. 503 area code says, how do you like the new Honda Ridgeline?
I've spent precious little time with it. We actually have it coming in the week next week. Our guy Rick Cotta, who travels to most of these new car preview events, loves it.
Ah.
Nothing but good. Yeah, the Ridgeline was redesigned. It looks less, frankly, ugly than the previous generation. But it should be just as good as the previous generation, which is good news. Still uses the same V6, still available with all-wheel drive. Kind of a light-duty compact pickup and yeah, all the word is good.
Okay, so at least one person at Consumer Guide Automotive loves it.
Yes.
All right, the Honda Ridgeline. All right, let's say hello to Greg on WGN. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Nick. Hey, how you doing? Tom, I was wondering if you've had any time behind the wheel in a 2016 Chrysler 300. I have a 2011, and I really like them, and I'm thinking about, you know, updating, going up to the next one.
Yeah, the 300 hasn't changed so much since your car. There's been a freshening that involves a new interior. It's a little bit quieter now, but the drivetrains are still the same. The V6 is the same. The Hemi V8 is the same. If you liked your car, you're going to like this car. It's basically the same car, just updated. The nice thing now is that all the safety stuff you're looking for is available.
Okay. Did they change the transmission around 2012 or...
Yes, Chrysler now uses a ZF, that's the brand, 8-speed automatic transmission on its big cars, and it works very well. And I recommend you drive the V6 before committing to the V8 because that's enough power, and the fuel economy is much better.
All right, Greg?
Yeah, I enjoy the V6. Yeah, thanks a lot, Nick.
Okay, take care, Greg. Take care, buddy. All right, thanks for listening. 312-981-7200. All right, Tom, let's talk about a couple of things before we let you out of here.
Okay.
The Daily Drive blog. These three automotive Halloween costumes.
Yeah.
I know we're a little late because Halloween was yesterday, but I love what you did here. Tell me about the three drivers' costumes that you picked out.
Yeah, I think these are three especially charismatic products, perhaps, or at least the drivers of them might be charismatic. So I singled out three cars, the Datsun 280ZX, the BMW 3 Series of the 80s, and the Pontiac Grand Am of the 90s, and put together costumes for what their drivers might look
right.
like and what they might say.
I'm particularly fond of the Grand Am. Fond of the Grand Am. The costume elements are a hair metal concert shirt. You said Poison preferred, but Dachwin will work.
Yeah.
Knockoff Oakley glasses and a bottle of Zima. That's fantastic. And that is absolutely the kind, because I knew guys who had Grand Ams, man.
Yes.
Oh, man. Oh, me too. And what are some of the things that he would say, Tom?
We have, this was my favorite because it's actually a quote. I heard this one.
Oh, really?
The quad four engine is only rated at 180 horsepower, but it's really like 300. Pontiac does that to fool insurance companies. Hey, baby.
That'll get you a lady. Oh, man. And then the 70s and 80s Datsun 280ZX, he wears a shiny open neck shirt, colored lens, thin-rimmed glasses, and many gold chains.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the quotes that you have here that he should say is, "Hey, baby, did you know my aunt cuts Gloria Gaynor's hair?" And then finally, the 80s BMW 3 Series. Blue or pink dress shirt with a white collar, a cellular phone weighing no less than 5 pounds, and a liberal slathering of polo for men. And what is one of your favorite quotes from him?
My favorite is, excuse me, "I can drive stick, but I got the automatic. I need the other hand for my phone."
There you go. All right, that's fantastic, Tom.
There we go.
Very funny. And he also wrote a really cool piece about 5 late century luxury vehicles that looked really cool. And he also wrote a piece about the Jaguar activity key, which you wear on your wrist.
Yeah.
So and people want to read those, they can check them out at the Daily Drive blog, consumerguide.com, and follow on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. Always a pleasure, Tom, and we will talk to you next month.
Looking forward to it.
Okay, take care.
Take care.
There you go. There's Tom Appel, everybody, and he will join us next month to talk more cars and to answer your questions. Right.